The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, Media Partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.
Another podcast from the IDDA, and tonight we have Arthiv Daniel. Arthiv, a lot of you'll know as the boxing dentist. He is well known for juggling two incredibly hard feats, you know, dentistry and boxing. So he's going to be telling us a lot about that, telling us about his personal life. We're also joined tonight by Dan Schaffer. We've got Chris Lefkaditis here. We've got Ed, who we chatted to last week as well, Ed Attenborough. And we've also got Patrick Zacherson. So welcome, everybody.
Hi, welcome, guys. Yes, nice to have everybody on board tonight as well. Arthiv, welcome. And really nice to see you again. I've had the privilege of meeting you on a couple of the courses. And I often wonder, you know, you deal with people that are very scared of you, but then you're also dealing with people that have to be scared of you or should be scared of you. I mean, it's a difficult thing to juggle mentally, I would think. You know, one side you're trying to help people and another side you're trying to hurt them. Tell us about that.
It's true, it's true. And yeah, no, thanks for having me. And it's good to see you again. Now, that was a great course. A couple of courses I've been with you guys. And it was fantastic seeing yourself, Adam and Pav lecturing. It was a great couple of days. But yeah, it's obviously it's quite an oxymoron working in healthcare, helping people and helping them restore their teeth potentially
after you've broken
on
them.
The other side,
after a match.
yes, it's the opposite there really. So it's just almost you know, delivering blows to possibly damage their teeth. Hopefully not. Yeah. I've been on record, obviously, to say I'd fix any teeth for free if that were to happen, God forbid. But no, it's you know, I'm privileged and I'm very blessed to be able to perform two very sort of very different but, you know, careers, which I'm very passionate about. I've always said, you know, obviously, I think, you know, with dentistry, I was always sort of geared towards health, the health profession. Science really intrigued me, especially biology. It was a huge interest. And
go see Dan here, by the way, who taught you guys. I've got to slip in there.
Yeah. Oh, Dan. Dan is guys. He's one of my main mentors for getting my dentures and my removal prosthodontics right. You know, so now when I've got patients thanking me and really, you know, appreciating their denture work, Dan's one of the guys I remember. You know, he was very instrumental in my removal prosthodontics knowledge.
Different, which was that we used to enjoy more than anything, instead of the prosthodontics, going down for a coffee down in Borough Market.
I thought you could say go for a pie then, but not going for a coffee. Fair enough.
And in the Bournemouth Coffee Company, the best coffee in London in Borough Market, and
nice.
Still go there to this day. One of my favourite places. Yeah.
Dan introduced me to that place, actually. So I never knew that. It's one of those places where you've got to know. So it's just tucked away secretly in Borough Market. And it's, you know, it's one of those places you've got to know. Otherwise, you know, you're in loss, really. So really great. They've got all these, you know, various flavors of coffee beans, which they'll grind in front of you to either take home or they'll make. And it's it was fantastic. So we used to get... there was Cafe Rossi, which was, they used to do these great chicken sandwiches. So yeah, we used to we had some great stuff, you know.
We had some fantastic conversations on such varied topics, ranging from philosophy and religion through science and dentistry and engineering. And I think we started touching upon your mix of sport and dentistry and healthcare. And during lockdown and COVID, many people did many different things. And I was talking to Adam regularly and the rest of the IDDA guys and Ed as well. But the thing I started talking to you about, which really intrigued me, was skill set repurposing and how the skills that you'd built up as a dentist really transferred very well into boxing. And I'd never really thought about it before. For instance, your diagnostic ability and then using special tests to assess your opponent and test where their weaknesses were going to be.
That's interesting.
Formulate a treatment plan for how you were going to
destroy them,
knock them out.
No, and then provide the treatment, which of course was the the clincher for you, was providing treatment that worked, was effective and immediate to achieve your goals whilst mitigating your own risk. And for that, we found, and I remember in our last discussion, we discussed how those skills were really transferable for you from being a dentist into being a professional boxer. I mean, do you remember we discussed that in quite great detail? Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. And the thing is, boxing, I was having a chat with someone recently as well, and I was just saying that how I've said it, I've quoted this many times, that boxing, one of the reasons that I especially enjoy it, aside from the physicalities, is the cerebral aspect and how it's a physical chess match. That's how I see boxing. You see, when you go into a fight, when you're training and you're doing that sort of side of things, of your physical attrition and your training, building and working your stamina, your power, your speed and whatnot, but you're also assessing your opponent, your potential opponent, and you're analyzing those things. So, you're not going to enter every single fight having that same style. You have to show that versatility. That's why the top guys, the all-time greats, the modern greats, that's where they're so distinct from the average boxers or the ones who are good but not great, is that they're very versatile and that they'll assess and study. Fighters like Floyd Mayweather, Muhammad Ali, Bernard Hopkins, these guys had high ring IQ and they'll adapt their styles in accordance to the situation.
And so, you've been described as quite a clever boxer, and you are known as a very intelligent boxer.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I am, and it's nice that people have picked that attribute out and mentioned that to my name, which is humbling. But yeah, absolutely, without doubt, when you're looking at the boxer, you're analysing, because especially like, for example, in the first round, you're not going to rush in. You're just easing yourself in, you're assessing the situation, you're assessing your opponent, you're setting traps, you're feinting and seeing how they'll react. You throw a jab, you're not going to commit yourself fully. So the first round, you're always going to be just, and AC Floyd Mayweather is very famous for that. And they used to say he'd be downloading data. That was a very common phrase that was coined with Floyd Mayweather.
I like the digital dentistry reference there, Arthif. That was nice.
Yeah. Mm.
So you're reading your opponent just like we read our patients on the first when we do the assessment.
So basically what we've discovered is Arthif goes into the ring, scans the patient, the boxer, right?
Yeah.
Assesses them, right? And then once he's then got all of the information digitally that he's programmed, he goes in for the kill and mills out, churns away a black eye.
That's probing.
That was a terrible analogy. That was terrible. Louise is looking in the background.
It's good. And it's 3D as well.
It's 3D.
Because you're circling the opponent. You're not just going in one direction. You're not going forwards and backwards. You're circling. So you're analyzing everything. You're doing the straight shots. You're doing the hooks. So it's 360. So it's 3D for sure.
Do you study your opponents before as well? Do you watch videos and stuff like that?
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. Did I just lose you guys? Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
We got you. Don't worry.
I love watching a game where you can see how one boxer has to sort of, you see one of them is just thinking about hitting and you already know where that punch is going to land. So you've already lined yourself up for it. And it's the same when we're seeing patients, really, isn't it? That you can see where this is going and then you've got to read them and see where they sit.
You see, that's very, very important. Absolutely. In dentistry, absolutely, the thing is, what us dentists will understand, maybe the general public won't, is that when we assess the patient when they come in and sit down in the chair. That's when your treatment started. You know, having looked at them now, you're discussing with the patient. You're asking them, you know, seeing what their needs are, what's their concerns, you know, so all of those things, you're taking that in right from the start, how they are, how they behave. And then that's all really important into how you'll form the treatment plan and how you'll execute. You want to also deliver expectations, and all of that is analyzed from your conversations with the patient. So all of that's obviously, you know, imperative. And then, you know, in the boxing sense as well, you're definitely, you're looking at, like, as I said, you're setting traps. You're seeing how they're going to react to a potential attack or an attack itself. You're looking out to if they're going to counter you, and then you're going to be, you know, protecting yourself and making sure your defense is on point. All of these factors, you know. And the thing is how you envisage certain things, as you're mentioning, you know, sort of earlier. I'll give you an example of one of my fights, and the thing is that, you know, boxing character is really important. There's a huge chunk of the mental aspect of boxing. You've got to be strong, and you've got to show your opponent. You've got to have a good poker face in boxing. You know, if you are
the professional counterman,
if you're tired, you can't show your opponent that, because if you show a moment or a weakness,
they spot it. Yeah,
they're going to capitalise.
You then get that a little bit in dentistry these days too with some patients.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying.
This is true. Obviously, we're in the world of, you know, blame and claim, and generally dentistry is obviously not an exception, high litigation. And sometimes, again, you're analysing the patient and treating.
Red flags.
Sometimes you've got to be brave enough to say, "I'm sorry, I'm not the right dentist for you."
Good job.
Wish you very well for the future. You've got to be brave to do that and have that understanding, and you know, it's so true.
So do you get but to choose your opponents then most of the time? I mean, do you say, listen, this opponent isn't for me, I'm not gonna do this fight, I'd actually prefer to fight someone who's either more matched or more challenging, or I don't know how you pick
that happens fight. yeah for sure that happens. I mean, you know, you're obviously discussing with the team, you're looking at the opponents, you're looking at, that's done across sort of all levels. I recently was supposed to fight in Germany a few weeks ago, my initial opponent cancelled, and then there's only one opponent they're offering me who was really poor. And I was like, look, I can't be fighting someone like him. I'm 17-3, I've had 20 fights. I need to have someone who's a bit more testing. There was two sides to it. One is the fact that we've been in a pandemic year. I haven't had any fights this year. I'm potentially having a fight next week, subject to confirmation. But yeah, but it's 90% confirmed.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So it's like, there's one side of saying, look, just take this fight, and you know, at least you got that. But then it's like, you know, so it's one of those things. But yeah, and sometimes the styles would say, you'd say, yeah, they're not going to gel, it's not going to form an entertaining fight, it's not going to form a good fight. Or the fact that, you know, yeah, if you know, the other thing is boxing is a very, very dirty business. There's lots of, you know, people who are, you know, snakes and two-faced.
You get that in dentistry as well, Arthur.
Yeah, it's true. We'll stay out of that discussion.
I was going to ask you, Arthur, which, you know, something I discovered going back a few weeks ago. Me and the kids have been doing karate. Well, I say karate. It's a mixed martial arts we've been doing. And I used to do it when I was a kid, and we've gone back to it. And the guy who's teaching us, a guy called Mr. Yankee, he's a really nice guy. He's like, you know, he's 7 foot tall, brick, you know what. But he's a super, super nice guy. And randomly, small world-wise, you know loads of guys in boxing, which we haven't even talked about yet, but he knows a dentist who we know, a guy called Robbie Hughes in Liverpool. And the reason why I say that is something which we didn't even know. Robbie Hughes, I don't know if you know this, used to be a points fighter. He used to be a kickboxing fighter. He had videos. Wow. If you actually go on YouTube, he used to do loads of stuff. So he was all over kickboxing. He's like a champion. So, but what it made me think was, which I was going to ask you, boxing is a different sort of sport to kickboxing, but in the same way, you know, you're going out there to win. And you can see that, you know, Robbie's always been all in, you know, he's always gone all in for obviously those fights. And now, you know, with dentistry, does the same with his brand and style of dentistry. He goes all in with the Smart Design Liverpool side of things. Do you think that with yourself, you know, there's the similar thing that, you know, you find that because you do just the same as you use dentistry to help with your boxing to analyze your opponent, do you find that the boxing itself has an impact in the way that you do your dentistry?
That's a good question.
Or your business?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I'd have to think deep about that. Maybe subconsciously, right now, nothing's coming to me.
Do you go into conquer things more because you're used to fighting for things?
I suppose, for that sense, most definitely. I think, you know, I'm a born fighter. I have that passion, that zealousy, that determination, that the fact that, you know, I don't want to quit. You know, yeah. Or I don't want to stop, sort of thing. It's almost like, yeah, I suppose. I mean, maybe I could give an example of a difficult extraction, a surgical extraction, where, you know, you're doing it, something happens or something breaks, and you're thinking, right, okay, let me, hang on a second, let me, you know, there's times that you think, okay, let me stop, and maybe I'll refer this. Yeah. But then you're like, no, I think I can do this. There's that route there. If I just do this, and you're just determined, you know, you just, you know, no, I want to do this and get the patient happy, and then they can just go off, sort of thing, with no worries. So, so there's definitely elements like so, for sure. Just you know, being have. There are so many crossovers. You know, it's true. And like in obviously in boxing, you have to have a plan, a career pathway. You know, doing things in a certain way. I mean, I'm fortunate now that after many years of boxing, I my record now is 17-3. All three of my losses were very controversial. And the thing was, the last time I had a loss, my record was 6-3.
Fantastic. People, okay.
You know, yeah.
And lost one since then.
People could have, you know, would have stopped or whatnot. And I was like, no. And obviously, you know, my losses were under controversial circumstances, but I didn't let that get to me. I said, no, hang on a second. I'm going to do this. I'll work with my team. We worked through a strategy. We went through a pathway, a plan. And thankfully now I'm 17-3. I'm ranked top 20 in the UK. I should be higher, but there's politics, but
there's,
know,
always politics. We won't go into politics in dentistry.
It's really interesting, though, to hear what you're saying about the boxing.
Yeah. No, and how that's... I'm looking at... Now I'm on the horizon for big fights. I was scheduled to have my US debut this year on the West Coast in either Vegas
or... I remember that.
Yeah. So it's... But obviously with COVID, it's stopped. But, you know, I'm looking at hopefully next year now in 2021. But the thing is that I persevered. I could have stopped at 6-3 and be like, oh no, this is, these are the hurdles, these are the difficulties, and these are the things that are unfair, whatever. Or I'd be like, look, you know what? I'm going to work hard, and this is what I'm going to do. And I had a vision, I had a plan. And now, thankfully, you know, I'm in a good position, you know. So it's, hard work, determination.
Well done.
And, you know,
obviously, your boxing is driving your ambition, and your the other way around, and your practice is probably growing because of your fame and your determination. How do you look at the future? Would you think, because boxing is not something you can do all your life, I guess, at that kind of level. So do you think you're going to be doing more dentistry or more digital dentistry? Or what do you think is the future looking like?
So the thing is, obviously, with boxing, there's certainly a shelf life. And thankfully, with modern understanding of sports science and nutrition, exercise, and being smart about things, it's definitely prolonged. There's greater longevity, which is why the likes of Floyd Mayweather past 40, boxing and still performing at a high level. Bernard Hopkins, only a few years ago,
You see Mike Tyson's fight the other day.
Exactly.
Look at him now. We started talking about him.
Yeah, exactly.
How old is he? He's late 50s now, is he?
54.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, 54.
So for me still.
I tell you what, he looked better than most fighters you see in the 20s in that fight.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So,
do you typically go up in weight groups as you go older and do bigger and bigger fights, or is that more of a choice you do?
Well, it's a bit about, it depends how your body responds. Everyone's body is different, the metabolism. But obviously, naturally, as you're growing older, your body will get a bit bigger, sort of thing. It depends. But also, if you have metabolisms on your side and you're still training hard, and very importantly, you're maintaining discipline in between your fights, in between your camps, that's the most important thing. You're not neglecting your body, then you'll maintain your weight, your desired weight of your career, and also you'll have greater longevity, which is like for example, like Floyd Mayweather, he's never smoked, he's never drunk alcohol. He's very disciplined in between fights. He's always maintained his weight near enough his fighting weight. So I'll give you one story about Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather, out for, like a party or something, celebrating, just having a good time. Yeah, I mean, he's just gonna eat, enjoy himself, have a laugh with people. He'll never smoke, he'll never drink. And then what he used to do, he'll go to Vegas where he will. Obviously, he lives in Vegas, so he'll go to the strip where there'll be a party. When he finished, he'd go to his driver, the car. He'll take his shoes off, put his trainers on, and he'll tell the driver, meet me at home, and he used to run home.
Wow. I've done that for different reasons.
It's staggering, Adam. That's
what he wasn't running. I think I had my shoes on, though.
It's interesting that the people on this podcast, Artif, I think you're probably younger than all of us, and we're considered to have invested perhaps 10,000, 20,000 hours. We're well beyond the number of hours that maybe it takes to become seen as an expert in some of the areas that we work in, particularly in digital dentistry. The other guys more than me, probably. But in boxing, when you get older, we were just touching on that it's not a career for the rest of your life. In dentistry, it tends to be that as you progress in your career, a lot of people lose touch with actually what they originally sought out to do with entering the career. Can you take yourself back to what motivated you to become a dentist, and also what motivated you to become a boxer? And can you just maybe say a little bit about your angle of daily discomfort, which is how your daily experience of yourself differs from your original moral compass or ethical input to motivate you to enter these careers?
Yeah. Cast my mind back. I mean, like I said, I was always science orientated. I was driven. Biology was was really of huge interest to me. I used to really enjoy that, and I really wanted to go towards the sort of have a profession in the health profession. And I did look at medicine, maybe in sort of primary school medicine, sort of middle school. I was like, I kind of liked the idea, but. So growing up, I think when I was sort of just started high school, year eight or so, my mother was really instrumental. She said to me, look, the hours aren't really social, and it's really difficult until you get to the top of the ladder, you become a GP or a consultant, whatnot. Why don't you look at dentistry? So I thought, okay, fine. So I began to sort of take an interest and start to look at dentistry.
So much better.
And then, for sure. And then I remember in year nine, I did some work experience, but year 10 was the official work experience from school. And I did some of that. So that's where I chose. So when we did our work experience placements in year 10, I specifically chose to go to a dental practice. And it was at the end of the 2-week period, I came out and said, this is what I want to do. So It was just everything, I suppose, in that time. I really appreciated the fact of how someone would come in pain, you could just relieve them, how people had cosmetic concerns, and, you know, in a matter of, you know, a few weeks, you could change their physical appearance and then their confidence and how they were. So all of those things, I just, you know, I appreciated that. Obviously, the hours are flexible. They're more sort of oriented to have other aspects of, you know, to your life. That was a key thing. So that was that. And obviously, you know, it pays well. So all of those factors.
Is that not the experience boxing that you've found over the years? Has it met your expectations, do you think?
I think it's certainly changed, hasn't it? Obviously, dentistry over the last several years.
Yeah.
Changed the last year.
It certainly has changed from when I was about 14, 15 years old, hasn't it?
Definitely my note-taking's changed.
I suppose the changes were happening even when I was in dental school. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. It's difficult, obviously. You know, I think every profession in recent years, especially since the first recession occurred in 2008 or 9, it was or so, there's always been this, every profession has been affected. And obviously things have, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think when I qualified, the UK was number 3 on the list of litigation. I think the US was first, Israel was second, UK was third. And I believe we're comfortably in the lead now as number 1.
I didn't realise it's that bad in Israel as well.
So yeah, that's changed. Yeah. Obviously, GDC regulatory body, you know, there's all of those aspects, and it's difficult. I mean, it's dentistry. When I didn't practice dentistry in the inverted commas good old days. But I've heard much about it. And you know, having speaking to those senior dentists, you know, they'll shake their heads and said, you know, and they're in dismay and saying, you know what, they're like, you know, it's ridiculous. It's not even almost worth practicing this day and age, you know. So which is a real shame, you know, because the profession itself, you know, treating patients and meeting expectations, all of that side is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's all the other, unfortunately, rubbish and politics around it.
Yeah, sadly.
The blame and claim culture and all of this stuff. And it's ridiculous, really. I mean,
so that's where this technology comes in to enhance the way that we do things and the things that we do. And I remember Adam saying that really, you know, digital dental technology is a tool like any other tool that we use in our armory. Yeah. And it's a matter of how you wield it and, you know, what you do with it. And that's really renewed a lot of it. I can't really speak for the guys in the IDDA, but for me, the technology, the materials, the developments, they've renewed my interest and they've changed the way that I do things so that I can deliver the kind of service that I really feel I would like to receive.
Well, do you know what, Dan? The I think, you know, to bring things full circle, when I suppose a little bit the way, you know, you've got your dressing room, you can go back to your shelter. Once you finish in the ring, that's it. You go and you can chill out. That kind of vibe, I think, is probably like the way, a different way maybe, obviously, but the, you know, like the group. One thing we've always been really, really passionate about is making the support group on Facebook. That's like, you know, it's nearly 18,000 people now. We've always been ultra strict on booting out anybody who causes trouble, causes offense, anybody who's horrible.
Adam, this is really great. It's a really key point you're touching on, because I'll be honest with you. I haven't said this publicly before. I've said it to people before. I'll be honest with you. I'm very fortunate outside of dentistry. I've got a lot going on. I'll be honest with you. When it comes to this, I'll dabble in the dental world. I'll do what I need to do. I'm out.
Yeah.
Because the reason why, generally speaking, the dental world is so
clicky,
negative. It's so, you know, you could just see it if you go on some of these public forums and stuff like that. And
do you know what though, Arthif? I don't think it is the general guys. And you know, over time, I think the sad thing is that the trolls out there, the people who are very vocally negative. It's the dental groups, some of them have kind of been a little bit poisoned by that, and to the point where you can't really, you don't want to be there. You kind of don't want to be on social media. No, and that's, you know, that's why we made it. Absolutely. It's a positive environment. It's unbiased. No, you can have, you can get into it with anything. You can, you don't have to spend a fortune and be committed to one brand. You can use whatever brand. And then, you know what, we've got some fab companies that have really supported us over the last year. But the nice thing is those ones that have supported us recognize that, you know, people are totally open to using whatever they want. And that's really what, you know, the whole thing, we wanted to make it, same with technicians, you know, we wanted to make it open to dentists, technicians, the team members, so that, you know, everybody feels welcome, really.
And, yeah, when you speak to some of the, like, especially, it's a shame when you speak to, well, I was going to say, especially the younger dentists, but there's sometimes even some, you know, sort of dentists who are older, or they're like reluctant to post things on certain groups, or just generally, it seems sad. There's a bit of a toxic environment sometimes when associated with these people. I think generally it's a real shame because the profession shouldn't be like this. We're not united. We're not positive as a whole. There are definitely a lot of great dentists like yourselves. There's a lot of dental groups, obviously, like IDDA as well, who are positive and don't look down at others or judge people and stuff like that. But for just generally in dentistry, there's not that unity.
Maybe things will change, Dan. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think
never
so.
You never know.
Yeah, I know about that. But no, that's the thing. But my point being is that I think it's important. I mean, regardless. I mean, the thing is, look, I think dentistry is like every other walk of life. You're not going to have, everything's not going to be all, you know, great grass, sunshine, and, you know, that's just life, you know. You're going to walk a path, you're going to have thorns.
Yeah.
You just got to be positive. You got to brace. You got to just be ready, and just be ready to adapt. You know.
Do you know what, Arthur? If I said a really similar thing to my son on Tuesday. I had a horrible day on Tuesday. I've had a really nice day today. I had a really nice day yesterday, but on Tuesday I just had an email that I won't go into, but it put me in a bloody bad mood the entire day. And my son had some trouble at school, and I was chatting with him and. Do you know what I used? This is really sad, but I used a Rocky quote. Yeah. So I said to him, I said, you know then what, that, son, how when you're older. Yeah, that's it. So I said, you know what, son? I said, I'm going to tell you something from a boxer. There was from a film Daddy really likes. And he said, it's not about how hard you can get hit. It's how many times you can be knocked down and still keep getting back up. And that's, I think, the way, do you know what?
Yeah.
We are, you know, obviously, all us guys channeling here, we all love what we do. And you know what? There's going to be negative people out there. Thankfully, I do think, I'd like to say I'm optimistic and think that they are the severe minority. And I'd like to think that the best way of handling those people is just give them zero airtime. But and just be positive and just trying to carry on with what you love, which is what we do with digital dentistry.
I'll tell you something. Before I turned professional as well, I had some great advice from many of these guys. But as before I turned professional, I remember two key conversations. One was with Floyd Mayweather, the other was with Amir Khan.
Yeah,
and they both basically said the same thing. They said, "Listen, in the boxing world, a lot of people call me Daniel. They just address me with my surname, Daniel, which is cool. They said, listen, Daniel, you got to remember one thing." When you turn professional, you're gonna have people who are gonna be haters. You're gonna have people who are gonna say things or whatnot and stuff. But just don't, remember, when you have that means you're doing something right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that comes in all walks of life. It's been there from day one. Yeah. From regardless of what anyone in all. Walks of life, times of life, you know, whatever. You know, you'd always have negative people, you'd have people bringing you down or whatever and stuff like that. But you've just got to be positive. And the thing is, this is why, you know, many of us have got kids, the reason why we're so worried, because kids are so innocent, they're just so pure, wrapped in cotton wool, and you're always worried that there's a big nasty world out there, you know. So and it's like you're saying, Adam, where you need to give them those positive quotes, like saying, look, from The Rock, it doesn't matter, you know, you're going to get knocked down in life, it doesn't matter, you get back up, you brush yourself up, you know, and you carry on, you know. And that happens in all walks of life, in all professions. But this is what I was trying to say, that it's really important in with us in dentistry. Dentistry has it's a very stressful profession. I mean, dentistry in the world is known to have a high suicide rate. I don't know if it's decided by what was once upon a time number one. But this way it's very important to have extracurricular activities. Definitely. Doing things, something that you enjoy, having a passion,
having friends,
and that's why I say to people, I said, look, don't worry, you don't it doesn't mean you have to be have to have another career or do something like professionally. Just do it for fun, just doing it for fitness. I mean, especially for exercising, things like, obviously you have endorphins and all of these things which help and stimulate your body, keep you with a positive mental attitude. All of these things are really important. That's why, I don't know if you guys saw, but in COVID, it was really, really sad that apparently three dentists committed suicide. And one was someone who I knew, you know.
Sad.
It was upsetting. And I was just like, and I thought, is this, what could I do? And that's when there's obviously a mental dental group.
Yeah, good group that.
Yeah, it's really, it's very positive. And I thought, and I got in touch with this lovely lady who runs it, Laura or Lauren. I think it's Lauren, isn't it? Yeah. So I said, you know, I thought to myself, why don't I just do like a one-off fitness training class or something, you know, for the dentist. I'll do, obviously, I'm between London and Manchester. I thought I'd do one in each, basically. So, you know, but I think just the general message was that you know, that to do something... you know, like especially like sort of trading and doing something sort of, it's nice because it helps you sort of channel yourself, refocus yourself, regroup, and it helps you sort of let your frustration out as well. So that's really important, you know, for sure.
You know, the amazing thing about exercise, and I know, Adam, you go to the gym quite a bit as well, or I don't know what your gym going's like at the moment, but
not as much at the minute, mate, too many beers, but you know.
and just to correct you, Artif, the suicide rate, that was anecdotal from that research.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there's not quite the evidence there, although anxiety, depression,
it happens. Drugs,
alcohol dependence and relationship disharmony did figure as well.
Do you know what? I think if anything, though, Dan and Artif, you know what? Because we're running out of time, but I was going to say that... one of the nice things about these podcasts we touched on with Ed at the end of the last one was we kind of wanted to get back into these podcasts because it gives people something different to do, to listen to hear about something to do with dentistry, but something totally random and something that's totally different to what they get up to. Because at the minute, especially with, you know, the tiers that like tier three we're in Manchester and stuff, all you do is go to work and go home, go to work, go home, you know, and you need that playtime. Everybody does, you know, might not be kids, but we need to get out of the house. And, you know, I think with dentistry, the stresses are still there, probably compacted because people haven't been out for a while. And so it's been a nice chat because I think it's been good to give that positive message. And do you know what, that if anybody is listening and they are under difficulties, that group is great. I've seen some really, really awesome posts on there. Full credit to Lauren for that. You know, that mental dental group, just get on there and ask your question to Lauren. But for the listeners that we've had, I hope you've enjoyed this. I think that's pretty much it for us today with you, Artif, to keep it under the time limit. But otherwise, anything else we wanted to add, lads?
That's a real pleasure to hear from that, Artif. I think it's really helpful to a lot of people.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah. No, I'm just really excited. Obviously, you know, with the group, you guys have got great ideas, and I want to get involved. You know, obviously, with digital dental planning, obviously with implants, all of that side of things, it looks.
Do you know what we need fantastic. To do, Arthur? We need to. I've got a couple.
And in fact,
no, with gum shields.
I was actually talking to Dan as well, actually, recently, actually, because I was going to get involved with digital dental planning with respect to orthodontics.
Awesome.
So something that you know, me and
that's where you want to go for the future.
As well, yes. Yeah. That's what me and Dan, yes, we're talking about. We're going to speak further about that. Something I want to get involved with as well.
No, I had a chat about that. Yeah, we do it all
Actually, you know, say again, Arthur. Sorry.
I had that story for you, actually. I didn't get to finish it. Remember, I was going to tell you about something in a fight. There was a situation where we're talking about planning and seeing things and having like a poker face and having that thing. But there was a fight when I remember once, right? So what happened was that this, I think it's in the third round now. And the guy had come out trying to knock me out from the first round. He was just there. And so we just obviously, I'm just, being smart, boxing out range, combinations, moving out. And his aim was to try to shorten the distance and try to come in and try to knock me out. Yeah. So we're into the third round now, and he's getting tired because he's thinking, he wasn't expecting me to still be there.
Yeah.
So what happened was, as I'm fighting him, and then there was, I went to jab him, and he just clinched. And I was like, this guy is tired now. He's spent because he was trying to knock me out.
Yeah.
So then he's
being thrown heavy.
No, yeah, he's breathing, and then he's holding me as well, sort of thing. Yeah. We had no reason. So this is honestly, this is exactly what I'm thinking. This is all going through my mind. So everything I'd planned this, and I thought this now. So I said, right, he's clinched me now. What I'm going to do now? I'm going to push him back now. When the ref says break, I'm going to give him a push to let him know I'm not tired, and I've got strength.
You know he's tired.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'd done that, he went and hit the rope, and I saw his face. It dropped. He was thinking, he was like, "Damn, this guy's still got fuel."
Nice.
And then I jabbed him, and he's moved across. He's going backwards. He's moving to the side. Then I said to myself, "What I'm going to do? I'm going to feint a jab, and I know he's going to move across this way. I'm going to feint the jab, and I'm going to give him a right hook to the body." So as I'm doing that, I feinted the jab, he's moved across, and I went smack, right hook, right to his body, went straight to the liver, exactly as I planned it, literally seconds
before. Sounds like Sherlock Holmes.
I've been thinking this exactly. So what happened was, that happened, but one thing happened, which I didn't predict. I knocked him out.
Nice.
I thought I was going to put him to the bank, and he's going to feel it, and maybe I'll get him in the next round, but he sank down and he didn't get back up. Wow. I'll send you guys a clip for that.
We'll put it at the end of this. Definitely.
Yeah. There's a bit of an extra dental touch to it as well. So when you get winded like that, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
So his gum shield come out.
So I'm just gonna need some veneers when I'm finished with
this.
But you know what? It's been great talking to you, and I think you know. The good thing is you're a big inspiration for a lot of dentists. I think it's just wonderful that you have both
experiences.
Thank you very much for sharing your experiences. And the few minutes we spent with you have been fantastic. And, just great to see you. And thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep winning, bud.
Yeah. Good luck for next week if it's on.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Cheers, Arthur.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See you later.
It's been interesting. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, Media Partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.